Against All Odds is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. It has great odds and markets for the NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, and so much more. Awesome new and existing user promotions. It's America's number one sportsbook because it's easy to use, because it's safe and secure, and because you get your winnings fast. Now, winnings are delivered in as quick as 2 hours, and it's fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same-game parlay. Discover the most popular same-game parlays each day right when you log in. And if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code Against All Odds so they know I sent you. And now I send you the Mighty Mighty Bosstones. All right, welcome to Against All Odds, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Tom coming to you on a Tuesday morning. Mikey Meatballs fiddling with the knobs. Babyface Joel Solomon is producing this mess. And joining me, as always, my wizards of wagering, my barons of betting, my gurus of gambling, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta, Harry, Brother Bri, Darren the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
What's up, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
We had a good night. I know we come on here. The idea of the podcast is a complaint about our losing, but we had a really good night yesterday. 7 of 8 with our NBA picks. A lot of them were the same, but we had pluses all over the place, right, Parlay Kid? I had the Celtics -7.5, Celtics -10.5. Brother Bri had a -19.5.
Easy money.
That was good. Harry had the under. The only thing we missed is Harry and Brother Bri went head-to-head with Tatum. One had under 27.5, one had over. I knew they both weren't going to win. I got to be honest, when you both turned those in, I was like, this is fishy. I can't see both these bets winning. But Harry, you were the one that lost betting under 20. I think you lost in the last 6 minutes, that bet. The first 6 minutes.
Well, I did under 27.5, but in fairness, if you were to tell me that Jason Tatum would have 8 baskets made, one would be a three-pointer, the game would be a blowout throughout, that equals, in my math, if it's correct, 17 points. I would think that I'd bet anything on the under 27.5 total points. But when the Miami Heat go to the free throw line in the entire game, the entire team goes to the free throw line 14 times, and Jason Tatum goes 16 times alone, well, then you're probably not going to win that.
Well, when you thought this through,
what are you complaining about?
You didn't think like the Celtics would get like home cooking? You didn't think the Celtics down 2-1, the team they want in the finals, would maybe send Tatum to the line?
He's complaining about this, but he had the under too. So if you wanted the Heat to go to the free throw line more, you'll probably lose your under bet.
Right, Harry.
Right? You can't have it both ways.
Sure I can. Why not?
Because
I
had 25
points.
No.
I can. You know why I can?
Why?
I had 25 because I had 25 points to play with. That's why.
Parlay Kid, don't you dare try to inject logic into this. Tatum.
And not to mention, Tatum had 12 free throws at down 12 free throws at halftime.
All right. Well, he's a good player.
Just call fouls on Miami. Let the game go up to 30 points. Another blowout. Another boring game.
Harry, he averages right around there. The refs are definitely going to favor the Celtics, which means they're going to send Tatum to the line. How is this such a big surprise to you? I don't understand why this is bowling you over here. This is what the NBA is.
Yeah. It is. You're right. I'm not disagreeing, but one player goes to the line 16 times and the other team goes 14 the entire game. Little bit of a discrepancy.
I know, but you're making it like the one player is Scalabrine like a decade ago. Like it's Tatum. Of course it's going to be that guy.
All right.
This is supposed to be a positive thing. We went 7 out of 8. I don't want to harp on
that.
Great
night. I went two and one on the night too. So, okay, let's leave
there
it.
There you go. I won high. My hockey pick too. I had the Blues over 2.5 goals. We're going to get into that a little later. We're going to recap the NBA. Hey, I won my same game parlay. Mets.
Nice.
Nemo to get a
good
hit.
Job.
Peterson, 3 or more strikeouts, over 6.5. A shellacking. Mets win 13-3. Parlay Kid, oh my God, what happened? Yankees, I think you gave.
Yeah, just another extra
runs.
Point loss for me. it's just another one in a series of losses, especially as of late. They lose to Baltimore. I know they had some players out, but Judge has just been phenomenal. Couple more home runs. Cole had one bad inning, actually went 8 innings, give up 5 runs. How often does that happen in a baseball game now where a pitcher gives up 5 runs and still
and
goes 8 innings? Almost impossible.
Well,
but he
the
did
eight
that.
Innings part is the impossible. Like in these, what are the 3 complete games this year so far? I was looking at that. There are 3 complete games.
If only Harry and I could have found under, like, right, Harry, that under one and a half complete games. Whatever it is, the amount of, remember we had that a couple years ago.
Yeah, that was something else. And then you just pray for rain every single day because then it's not an official thing. Wow, Judge, I was looking, Judge now plus 160 to win the home run, to be the home run.
How many home runs does Judge have just against Baltimore this year? I mean, how many?
Oh, here we go. This is going to be Harry's thing.
He's been, well, first of all, number one, Baltimore, Harry, if you knew anything, has moved their fences way back.
I know.
Baltimore's moved their fences way back, and it's not easy to hit them out in Baltimore anymore. Their bullpen has the fifth best ERA in baseball for bullpens. Baltimore's not terrible. They're not terrible. Their starting pitching can be a disaster, but they're not overall terrible. I don't think Judge has been feasting.
All I ask is how many he has against Baltimore. That's all I ask.
I think you're trying to throw. You're asking for throwing something.
Harry thinks Judge gets to the free throw line too much. He doesn't understand why he gets caught. All right, so we'll go over NHL. Let's do NBA right now. Let's recap that Miami-Boston game. Celtics win 102-82. This is just what we've come to expect now with these playoff games. 18, I think it was 18-1 at one point.
It was 18-1. With about 4 minutes left, or less than 4 minutes left in the first. That was so good. I was hoping for
29-4 with 2 minutes to go.
I was hoping for them to score 4 points in that quarter. That would have been so good.
So what did I pull up? Like, I don't know, Babyface Oliver and I were texting these back and forth, but I think in the last 17 games, I don't know what's going on, but there's been like 7 clutch minutes in the last, what did I say this was? 7 clutch minutes in the last 17 playoff games. Average margin of victory is 19.8. It actually seems like more. I want to say this was the worst game of the playoffs, but then there was that one where the Warriors, who were probably going to win the whole thing, were down 55. Yeah. It's really an insult to the other terrible playoff games for me to say this was the worst, really. So now it's 2-2.
Yeah, because you had the Mavericks Suns too, game 7.
Maverick Suns game 7. Oh, that was awful too. Yeah,
I mean, maybe terrible. This is the third worst, and they were,
I guess,
they were down
we're not
30.
Even thinking it might be in the top 5. But right now, Celtics, this is moved now. Celtics are now favored, even though it's a best of 3. They're minus 155. The take back on Miami is plus 130. Celtics to win the whole thing is plus 260. Miami is plus 440. And the most popular result right now is the Warriors beating Boston, which you can get for a little under 2-1 odds. Bri, does that, any of that pop out at you, or we just have to sit back and watch the rest of this mess?
Well, it's funny. It sucks because I really don't want to root
for Boston.
Don't want to root for Boston, but that's by far the best series, right? Boston Golden State is the one series that could be pretty competitive throughout. But, well, yeah, I know, Derek.
I agree with that. That's the only good series.
It's the only good series. Although, those games might all be blowouts. But, yeah, that's 2-1, Sal.
Yeah, Golden State to beat Boston
is
plus 195. So that'll get lower and lower as more games accumulate here.
Yeah, I'd probably take that.
But Darren, I'm the same way with you. Like, the Golden State Boston sounds great, looks good on paper, the best we could ask for is 6 shitty games and then both teams try in game 7.
I'm not even sure how good it sounds, to be honest with you, because I said this.
Really?
Excuse me. Harry and I were talking about this yesterday. Talking to each other. Sorry, I got to choke on something.
You're getting emotional when we talk about Steph Curry, but go ahead.
Losing to the Orioles, that'll do it to you, I guess.
My point was making with Harry, and we're both on the same point on this, Harry, when we were talking about Golden State as being the favorite, how good is Golden State really? Like, if you were to compare Golden State to Golden State years ago, or just the NBA champs over the last 20 years, is Golden State even really that good? Like,
I know
they got Curry, but Draymond is a fraction of what he was. Poole had a nice run, but he's not a huge factor right now. Like, is Golden State just getting by because they're just better than a lot of other bad teams, like shitty teams? Like, seriously, like, who have they really? They played the Nuggets. The Nuggets were no good. They got like by said, a beat up Memphis team who could have won that series, actually, right? And now Dallas, you know, nobody thought Dallas would be here. I don't even know how good any of these teams are. Is there really a good team in the NBA right now?
Everyone wants to put the asterisk by the bubble year, 2020. I put the asterisk by this year, honestly. The games have been shit. Mm-hmm. The competition's bad. There's injuries like there always are, and you can't get a handle on who's good. I guess the Warriors are good. I don't know. I was impressed when they came back. Was that game two? Against Dallas. Dallas was beating them in game two. They came back.
Yeah, but there aren't that many of them.
I know. It's just that the many. Go ahead, Harry. What do you want to say?
No, Dallas should have won game two. Denver, last 2 years in the playoffs, they're 1-8 straight up. And those last three games against Memphis, no Morant. And
yeah,
like 55 point getting blown out, lost by 39. But also the games in between, the games they won and the game before that blowout, easily could have been won by Memphis that gave him away. So it's a point of like, okay, Golden State, Boston sounds the best there is, but really, how great is either team?
I mean, you can do this with any sport. Like, all right, the Rams beat Cincinnati. Cincinnati was lucky to get by Tennessee and whatever else, the Raiders and all that. They weren't the best team, Cincinnati. But what you don't see is you don't see Joe Burrow going, 4-for-26 in the Super Bowl after going 19-for-26. I know shooting baskets is different from completing passes, but these guys, I mean, Jimmy Butler was terrible yesterday. Guys are great or awful, depending on whether it's Tuesday or Thursday. And from a handicapper's perspective, it just drives us nuts. Mm. We got it. We nailed it yesterday. I hope we could do it again. Let's do this right now. Dallas versus Golden State. Now, the Warriors looking to close it out. It's in Dallas. This is flip-flop between the Warriors being a favorite and Dallas being a favorite. Either way, it's a point. Mavs minus 1, 215.5 is the over-under. Let's start things off before we get into the game. Let's get into the most important part of the game, and that's the first 10 points. Right, pick our race to 10. We're going to be live on Twitter. We're going to be screaming our heads off. We've lost 3 in a row. We've never lost 4 in a row. Mm. You got to give us a winner. The way I see it, the Warriors now are favored to get to 10 first, even though they're not favored to win the game. I'm seeing Warriors minus 115, Mavs minus 108. Who are we going with?
Yeah, this is a tough one, but there's a lot of pressure on me here, but I think we all know kind of where I'm going here, because I think we all kind of believe this same thing in the game here, but I am going to go with the Mavericks at minus 108. I mean,
nice.
Look, yeah. I have the same feeling as this game as I did yesterday in the Boston game. Dallas has to come out with a ton of urgency, right? In general, I will say there hasn't been a lot of trends for the race to 10 with the Warriors and Dallas. It's really kind of just flip-flopping.
Yeah.
But Dallas was, and they still have been, at home, they are usually typically a great first quarter team, with the exception of the last game.
Yeah.
Again, there has to be a crazy amount of urgency here. Golden State will have nothing to lose, but, you know, and there's not a lot of pressure on them. But I do think Dallas's shooters are much better, especially early on in this game. They have to come out strong here. I mean, that's the only way they have a chance, I think, in this game, is to come out strong in this first quarter. If you like them in the first quarter here, you got to like them in the race to 10, even though I know that doesn't necessarily correlate all the time. But I think we're all here on Dallas right now.
We are. We're going to talk about it in a second. I'm looking at that other thing you like doing, that FanDuel. This is a fun one. We haven't done this, and it's a little harder to explain.
The 3x2.
Two or more 3 points. Yeah, what's it called? The 3x2? If you make combined in the game, 2 or more 3-point field goals in the first 3 minutes. If it's the yes is a plus 104. That's the lowest I've seen in these, I think. I think the highest, I guess, however you want to say it, right?
Yeah.
Getting even odds on this. That's how we could lose, right?
I would take this, though. I would take the yes in this. I mean, when it's been hitting quick, right? And these Dallas, and I know some of these Golden State games it hasn't hit on, but, you know, you're more likely or not for Dallas to come out maybe firing, hitting a couple threes early. And I think Golden State's going to hit one or two early.
All right. So it's fun.
Yeah.
It's as lucky as the race to 10, although we've been unlucky. All right. We're in step here. We like this. We like Dallas to score, to get to 10 first. So do that. Join us. We'll have a contest. We'll play for somebody. We have them. You know, I like Dallas minus one. So now you have to figure out, can Dallas come alive and defend their turf like they should have in game three? Or is it just too much of an uphill battle and they pack it in? And or is Golden State relish in the extra rest? Do they play their best to win? I think the Mavs show up. Don't forget, the big three played well at home, game three.
Yeah.
Doncic, Brunson, Dinwiddie had 83. The rest were 2 of 20 right. from three. So it's probably smart, and I know a couple of you guys are doing this, taking the adjusted line, -7.5 or -70.5 in these playoffs because it doesn't really matter. But I'm just going to take the -1. Parlay kid, where are you in this? You like the winning margin. Why not? 11
Yeah,
or more.
I'm going to come back with that at 11. Dallas to win by the margin of 11 plus points at +350. Just look, these games are tricky, right? Because they're all tricky. But when you're down 3-0, Dallas is not winning the series, right? So, but at the same time, I think teams like to show a little face. Nobody wants to get swept, right? So, I know in Golden State, I know they would love the extra rest, but at the same time, there's not going to be a lot of urgency in their game either. I think Jason Kidd is a very prideful coach. I don't think he's letting his team pack it in here. I think they're going to be full throttle. These reserves have to be better today. They cannot perform the way they performed the other day. It would virtually be impossible for that to happen, okay?
Right.
Or else they should really all be out of the NBA if they were to play like they did the other day. That's simple facts. All right, so Dallas rises to the occasion for one game here, for one game, and I think this is trending like every other game, blowout, maybe from the very beginning. Here.
Okay.
So that's what
Bri, you did it last night. You took the -19.5. It just held on. That was scary. Now we'll have you tell your real story in a second, but you're going, tell it now. So you give out, Boston -19.5 on the podcast. We make a nice graphic. I'm rooting for it. And we're texting. I'm like, yes, it held on.
Yes.
And then you're like, you want to hear something funny? And what did you end up doing?
Well, the funniest thing, and then your guess was, oh my God, you didn't bet it.
I said,
well, even worse. I took the margin of victory from 21 to like 21 to I took both like 21 to 25. And 26 or 20 and 26 plus, which paid out like significantly more.
Yeah, but it didn't, though, right?
But it didn't, but I lost it.
Because it lost. All right, so they won exactly 20. So just listen to what we say and not what we do. Don't look into what we do, but you Dallas.
Yeah, I thought up, you know, they kept cutting it to close to 20 and then they would go back up like 25, 26. So I was like, I thought I was okay.
Well,
and then
they were
like,
up, 36 more? 35?
I don't know.
Yeah, one thing they don't have. 30s. I wonder what these would look like. These high, because FanDuel doesn't have it. The highest margin at any point, right?
Yeah, they used to, right. We used to say they used to give that out at like
these
minus.
Have
it was
to
16
be around,
and a half, but they'd have to be all in the 20s now.
24, 25, all of them. But you like Dallas -19.5.
Yeah, I'm gonna take it again. The Dallas -19.5 at 10-1. I believe in this bet similar to how I believed in this bet yesterday. I thought in this series there'd be a bunch of blowouts coming into the series, although we only really saw the blowout in game one, right? But I don't you still feel like this game, like I know we've been saying like 90% of these games have been blowouts, but I feel like you could say like there's a 50-50 shot this is going to be a blowout, right?
Sure.
Especially after the way the Mavs played in game three. I mean, their shooters, and we talked about this just before, but their shooters at home, their bench guys who we all hate, right? Between Bullock and Finney Smith, Kleber, Bertans, those guys have to shoot better. I mean, I'd say one or two of those guys will get hot, right, in this game.
Right.
And I will say that I think the most important thing with this game, and this is why I took the race to 10, if the Mavericks come out really hard and play really well for the first 20 minutes and say go up 20 points,
100%.
The Warriors might be like, forget it. Let's just pack it in, right? So that is what I'm banking on, right? A really well-played 20 minutes. I will say, and this hit yesterday too, and we should look at this as well. I'm probably going to put a little bit of money on Dallas to be up 15 or more at halftime, and that's also 10-1. You know,
so that's a good one.
I like both of those. Minus 19 and a half or first half 15 plus at 10 to 1.
Look, they have it in them. They beat the Jazz in the playoffs by 25. I'm looking at the, and they beat the Suns twice by 20 or more. They beat them. I'm looking here. They beat them by 27 in game six, and then they beat them by 33 in game seven. So, and when they've lost, they've gotten killed too. So you might want to take the Warriors minus 19 and a half too.
Yeah.
So it's, it's a nice little, you know, 40 point middle there that you can get beat on, but you probably won't. All right, Harry, you, so you're going to like our bet, Harry, because we're betting Dallas race to 10 first. So you have them for the first quarter.
Yeah, Dallas first quarter money line minus 118. Just basically going to reiterate what Brian had said about Dallas showing up in game four, especially early here. The Mavs are 6-2 straight up in their last eight games in the first quarter. Golden State just 1-4 straight up in the first quarter in their last five. Luka gets hot early like he did in game six and game seven, maybe against Phoenix early. And establish themselves and taking Dallas first quarter.
I must say, you usually like the Warriors third quarter, which has been a winner. But if we go by your logic and what you hope to happen, you don't like that bet today.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, it's won so easily in three straight games. Hmm. I bet it the first two. I almost forgot to bet.
But if they
three.
Pack it in.
But a 3-0 situation, it's different.
I think the Mavs go up big in the first half. And if that's the case, you know, if they're up 20.
We'll see all backups midway through the third, at least.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
All right, sure. Harry, hit us with a prop here. I can't believe you're going with this guy, but we do need him to produce for our bets.
Listen, like Darren said, it can't get any worse. Reggie Bullock over 2.5 threes at minus 128. Mm-hmm. 0-10 from the field on Sunday. I know it. He was 0-7 from 3-point range. Terrible game. But there's really no pressure on Dallas here. And so a lot of times in game fours, when a team's down 3-0 at home, they have nothing. No pressure on them, and they come out great in the first quarter and early on in the first half. I'm thinking that's going to happen here tonight. Bullock did have 6 threes on Friday in game two. He's had 3 or more in 4 of his last 5 games versus Golden State. I got faith in him to come back and shoot well at home here. Over 2.5 threes.
He was just so terrible. I don't know. And the Parlay Kids, like walking around with a grenade all day. But Parlay Kid, you like Bullock too. Over 10.5 points.
I do like Bullock. I just feel like Harry said, I mean, Harry, right? So if you hit, I probably hit on
sure.
this. We got to see him play a lot in New York, Bullock, and he's, I think he gets a little bit of a bad rap sometimes. He's a little bit better shooter than he probably gets credit for at times. And he was so putrid the other day that as Brian is and Harry have both said, for the Mavericks to be successful today, he's got to knock down a few threes, got to knock down.
Right.
He sure took enough shots the other day. I think, what was his total shot? Was it 10, Harry, did you say?
0 for 10, right?
0 for 10, right. So 10 total shots, several of those three-pointers. He'll get those chances again. And I think the Warriors are willing to give him those shots. And I think he knocks down a few tonight on his home court, which he should. I mean, these guys, shooters should shoot much better at home, I always feel like, than on the road. There's no doubt about it.
You would think.
And they should. That's where they should feel very comfortable there.
Yeah, especially complimentary players, you know?
Absolutely. And that's what they do, right? That's what they get paid to do, shoot and play some defense. Bullock comes through tonight. I think he knocks down 3 or 4 of these three-pointers, and he goes over the 10.5 for me anyway.
All right. Another complimentary player, Dinwiddie. Brother Brian, he played well game three.
Yeah, I like him over 13.5. I'm surprised it's actually this low. Yeah, he played very well. He's the one guy who shot the ball pretty well in this series. And in his last four games, he's averaging close to 19 points per game.
He's gone over this number in four
of his last five, too. So
I had him over 12.5 a couple of days ago. And he went, that's
that
the one
terrible.
Game he went
was
under.
That the 4-point? Yeah. That was the 4-point game where
he was. Point performance. Yeah.
It was awful. Yep. Yeah. I would assume at home he's going to be pretty good here for them. And unless the other guys really step up, but they've relied on him coming off the bench to get a bunch of points here. So I think 13.5 is low enough where it's a pretty good number.
All right, I'm going with Luka here. I know I've really been monitoring his play and his numbers and everything. And I usually bet him for double double and triple double, and like double doubles, like a lot. It's -230. I think he only had only won this series. It was game three. Triple doubles harder is +390. But FanDuel allows you in a same game parlay to adjust all his numbers, points, rebounds, and assists. And I put together what I think is a good one here. Luka, 30 or more points, 6 or more assists, and 6 or more boards, -139. I still think we could talk about Dinwiddie. We could talk about Bullock and all these guys, Brunson, but he still has to explode a little here, right? He's had 30 or more points in four out of five. He's had 6 or more assists in 7 of the last 11. That's going to be the hard one, but still, odds are in my favor. 6 or more rebounds in 19 out of 20 games. It's not a triple-double, but a little more than halfway there for a reasonable price. I'm even factoring in some rest time, even though Luka logs more minutes per game than anyone. He averages 28, 8, and 8 a year this year. So I think he'll get the 30 points and then meet his average on the assistant boards. -139, I think, is a nice price for that same game parlay. So there we go. We like the Mavericks, in other words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. We like the team that's down 0-3. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, right. Of course. Yeah. It looked terrible last game.
Sal, I brought this up yesterday, but I'm just realizing, FanDuel actually has first quarter point totals for.
Oh, yeah. You were saying that. Yeah. What is Luka's? Do they have it
for
today?
What do you think his first quarter is?
Eight and a half.
No, it's got to be more, probably, right?
Yeah. It's 10. It's 10 and a half.
10 and a half. Yeah, because I think they now factor in everybody sitting in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and Steph is 7.5.
Wow. Boy, that seems like a lot. That's, although it's 5 shots. Now I'm going to go through my
Well, if you get Steph gets 16 free throws like some other people did, then, you know.
How could you see that coming? Hey, make every game feel like game 7 on FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Throughout the playoffs, all customers can place a no sweat same game parlay. Each week you get up to $20 in free bets if you don't win. FanDuel has so many ways to play, and best of all, when you do win, you'll get paid faster than a fast break. If you're new to FanDuel, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code Against All Odds. Once again, that's promo code Against All Odds, and if you already have an account, you're all set to bet, no sweat. Either way, you'll get up to $20 in free bets if your same game parlay during the playoffs does not win. FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. All right, let's go to the NHL, recapping Monday's games. The Lightning advance. That's impressive. I have to say, that's impressive. Mm. They beat Florida. They sweep them. And it was a game 4 right after a game 3. And Vasilevsky, what did he have? 49 saves?
Yeah, it was fantastic. Saves. Especially early in the game.
Sal, that's his sixth series clinching shutout.
I saw that.
That's amazing.
Out of his last 7, it's in, right?
Yeah. 6 of the last 7.
As Mikey Meatballs will tell you, really just should show you how impressive the Islanders have been the last few years.
Everyone's saying.
They've gone, that's what everybody's talking about. They've been toe-to-toe with that Tampa Bay Lightning team. Yeah.
Well, and they weren't even good last night, Darren. They didn't play their best game at all, but amazing.
No, well, they got outshot 18-3 in the first period. Vasilevsky kept them in that game. So, but they're very good.
So, but what do you want if you're the light? Now, I was thinking, like Damashek said yesterday, they close it out. Now they have a bigger advantage. They have almost a week off, probably. You have to figure that, that Carolina Rangers series will go along. Mm-hmm. But,
sure.
I'm not saying they should play back-to-back nights, but when you have a hot goalie like this, do you really want 5 days off? I don't know.
They don't want they're gonna have more than 5 days off, most likely, Sal. I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but either
way, that's what I'm saying. Do you even want 3 days off? I don't know.
Well, I will say this, Darren, and probably because of what Tampa Bay's accomplished, it's amazing, but it gives more time for Braden Point to get healthy, who's actually. They're doing this without him, really, because he got injured in that game 5, I think, against Toronto, who's probably their best player overall. And they're doing it without him, which is even more impressive.
So there you go. So the two games tonight are Rangers home for the Hurricanes. Rangers down 2-1. That's dead even, -110. And the other one's dead even, too. That Oilers-Flames series, which is nuts. Edmonton's up 2-1. They're home, -115. Calgary is -104. I'm going to give out the Canes here. I'm going against the grain because they've not won a road playoff game. They're minus 110, like I said. I know the Rangers are solid at home. I know Carolina's power play is abysmal, like 5.3%. And their penalty kill is bad, too. So their special teams are just awful, 68.4%. The goalies, though, about the same. Only Vasilevsky is better in terms of save percentage in the playoffs. But is Frederik Andersen coming back? Is he playing? I didn't see what's going on. I know he was roaming around there and he practiced. I don't think he is, right? It's going to be Ranta is going to be in there. 44 shots last game for the Canes. Some of these have to start going in. I think they get their first playoff win. Svechnikov, 2 goals tonight, 4-2 final. Give me the Canes. Brother Bri, you're going under in this game.
Yeah, I'm taking the under 5.5 at minus 132. You know, the goaltending's been just way too good in the series to take anything other than under 5.5 goals. And I know you were saying about the goalie situation for the Canes. It's like Ranta has to stay in regardless, right? At this point, he's been so good.
Yeah, I think so. As,
you know, unless he has a real bad game for them, you know, tonight or something like that, then maybe that'll change. But there's only been 9 goals so far in 3 games, and 2 of those were empty netters, and 1 was an overtime goal. So there's really been like 6 regular goals.
Either way, there hasn't been more than 4 goals,
in
right?
3 games.
In,
Exactly. And game three was the first time there was a pretty good pace to the game. It actually felt like a playoff game. And there were some good chances in that one, but the goalies just came up big there. You know, Shesterkin and Ranta have just been phenomenal. Yeah. I do like, you know, I know Darren's EP pick. I know he's on the under 1.5 for the first period in this one, which, by the way, is hitting 4 straight games again in the NHL.
Is it again?
Games.
Wow. It's the only thing that's hit for me like on my AP picks. So.
I think it's like 24-6 or something like that. There's some crazy number. But I just like this one. I mean, there's just hasn't been enough offense. And, I mean, 5.5 is probably too high for this.
Half the goalies of the 8 remaining are just really hot right now, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe more. I don't
know. That's hockey.
Yeah, that's it. All right, you guys have player props, Parlay Kid. Hit us with yours.
Yeah, this is something Harry's gone with and something I went with for EP a couple nights ago when it lost. Johnny Gaudreau over half of an assist here at minus 126.
To record an assist, yeah.
To record an assist, Sal. Coming into his last game, he had gone 7 straight games, recorded 10 assists in seven games. And then last game, when I finally go with it, he puts up a goose egg. So I'm going to come back with it because he's too good. These games are too wide open for a guy who had 116 points on the year, including 75 assists on the year, who, like I said, has 10 so far in the playoffs as well, assist-wise, for him not to record another one. Calgary is going to score some goals tonight, probably 3 to 5 goals minimum. Gaudreau will be in on one of those to assist. So I'll take him at minus 126. I also thought about Gaudreau going over 3.5 shots on goal since I think 8 of his last 9, he's totaled 4 or more shots on goal. And that's even a better number. It's closer to like minus 110.
Wow.
So
that's
that out there too. Yeah.
All right, Harry, you're in love with this. We hear about this all day long. Dreisaitl over.
I know. I mean, listen, I don't even understand. Like over 1.5 points. I still don't. I can't understand how this is plus money. It's plus 126.
Yep.
I mean, he's a point machine. He just is. 19 points in his last 10 playoff games. He's had 3, not 2, 3. We need 2 points. 3 or more points in all 3 games in the series versus Calgary. And in the last 4 games versus Calgary, he's had at least 3 points in those games. Had 4 assists on Sunday alone. Dreisaitl over 1.5 points and you get plus money.
All right, yeah, I'm not touching that game. I'm snake bitten with that series. Like I bet under. I leave it alone. If it goes under, finally, and just the goal, they won't move the over under from 6.5, even though this monster numbers being. But I know it went under last game. But so the Canes are minus 315 to advance, and the Edmonton's minus 188. What's the better value of those two? You think, Parlay Kid? Because the Rangers are more likely to even this up, right? So that I guess,
yeah.
But it's still minus 3. I think that's a little high, even though I like them to win tonight.
Yeah, I think it's look, you know, Sal, in these hockey games, it's, I guess you could depend on like which goalie you like best, or something like that, or whoever's hotter. So I think you can't go wrong with really either. Either of those.
Darren, though,
you know what? Go ahead, Harry.
I was just going to say, Mike Smith is the goalie for the Oilers. And can you trust him? No, not really. But when you have Drysdale and McDavid, and if you're not causing turnovers, you're not giving up turnovers, giving up, you can win the series even if your goalie's giving up four goals a game.
You know what's incredible? It wasn't even Drysdale or McDavid last game. But yeah, I mean they played well, but they weren't the heroes.
It's still
at
7 points combined.
Yeah.
You know what's incredible? McDavid's 25 and Drysdale's 26.
Wow. Yeah.
Right. I think I got that right.
Have you ever seen anyone faster looking at on that skates before. Than McDavid, Darren? Anyone faster than McDavid on skates?
His name is Matt Barzal on the Islanders.
Oh, wow. See, you got an answer today. There.
What golf course is he on today?
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll jump on the riverboat. Oh, the captain's got a doozy of a question for us today. All right, some NFL news. I think Brad, our friend Brad, has said 100 days till college football because he's had enough of bad. He just goes crazy with the basketball. You got to see these texts. It's amazing how much he hates these games. But I guess 100 days till college football. And now pro football is in the news. Kind of, not really. Colts GM, owner rather, Jim Irsay.
Yeah.
He bid $4.5 million for Kurt Cobain's "Smell Like Teen Spirit" guitar, sold to Jim Irsay. $4.5 million. Well, this guy just sits around, gets loaded. I'm just kidding. He doesn't have a problem drinking anymore. And buys memorabilia. And it got the captain. You know, we're friendly with this captain of the Riverboat Casino. He asked, "Which piece of memorabilia in music history would you want to own if money was no option?" And I was like, "Well, can you make it a gambling contest?" He said, "Yeah, sure. Let's put odds on it. Is it the Cobain guitar, 3-1 odds? Is it John Lennon's piano that he performed Imagine on, 6-1? Is it Lady Gaga's Mistress, 15-1? Or MC Hammer's Hammer Time Pants, 30-1? Or you could go Field -250. Bry, start us off. Which would you pick?
Well, it's funny with this question that you gave out, because my youngest daughter the other day just randomly said, "Can you put on Smells Like Teen Spirit," it's totally random. Mm. Never mentioned anything about Nirvana. I don't know where. She's heard it on a TikTok.
You love Nirvana though, don't you?
I do. Yeah. So this is probably the toughest one we've ever done, because I started going through it and I was like, there's so many different pieces of memorabilia that are really
cool.
There
are quite a few options out there. Yeah.
I will say though, Irsay getting the Cobain guitar is like pretty lame, right? Though it's like Jim Irsay.
Oh, that he gets it?
Yeah. The Jim Irsay. I mean, I feel like I know Jim Irsay's probably really not that much older than Kurt Cobain, but I feel like it should be somebody younger, right? Like in all honesty, I don't know anybody who loves Nirvana. I personally don't know anybody who loves Nirvana who's older than you guys. Like, you know, I feel like everybody's a little bit younger. Right. It's weird to say that. I'm sure there's a million, billions of them, but
yeah.
But yeah, I was thinking about it and I was thinking, you have Michael Jackson Thriller jacket to me would be really cool. Michael Jackson glove. I was then thinking like maybe there's some Queen Live Aid stuff or something like that. That'd be cool. But I'm sticking with the same thing with Cobain's guitar. But I would say the unplugged guitar to me, the MTV unplugged guitar to
MTV.
Me,
yeah,
was definitely one of the biggest, like most iconic things I've ever watched. And I still watch and I still listen to that album to this day all the time. So to me, that, you know, from a Nirvana side is the biggest thing that I would
that's,
want.
That might be, it's funny. I might be MTV's biggest moment. I'm thinking about it now. Yeah. I wonder if that ever went for sale. You just wonder what happens.
I don't know.
I think that guitar went for $6 million.
I thought that was one of the highest pieces.
That went for $6 million.
I guess that makes sense that it's more expensive than this one. This seemed like a lot for this.
Yeah,
Irsay
got that one too. He's got all these Kurt Cobain. All right. Parley Kid, what are you going to say?
Well, we know which one Harry's taking, so we could probably just move off, right? The one with the meats. Right. right?
Oh, that's Lady Gaga's speech dress?
Yeah, yeah, right? I mean, he'd have to
unless,
pick that one.
Unless Daugherty wore a Daugherty. Daugherty
Excuse
wore
me, who? Because,
Daugherty. I'm thinking of Daugherty.
Show some respect,
I'm sorry.
Some
respect. I'm talking about my kid was talking about the quarterback that transferred today.
Bon Jovi vest, right?
Daugherty. Go ahead.
I've missed the captain. I've missed the riverboat, Sal. I've missed it. It's time. I'm glad we're back on it.
Yeah.
Sal, you know the Wu-Tang Clan, right?
Right. Oh, sure.
Pretty familiar with it. They cut an album that you might be familiar with called Once Upon a Time in Shaolin, worth about, it was bought for about $2.6 million from this farmer bro, right? This guy that was actually put in jail and his assets have been seized. They only cut one of these. It's one copy of this.
What are you talking about? There's one album out there?
There's one. It's a secret album.
Oh,
from the Wu-Tang. It's like, and it was bought for like $2.5 million, something like that, by this farmer bro guy that's in prison, and his assets were seized by the government. So I guess the government has a hold of this.
I think you're making this whole thing up.
No, I'm not making it up. This is
Darren's
true.
Talking about a rap group. I love it.
Hey, protect your neck, Harry. That's one of their songs. Oh, wait, you don't have a neck. Yeah. You don't have a neck. So, there's one copy of that. That's what I want. Money's no object. Let's get it. We got to make a call to somebody, one of the higher ups in the government.
All right, we'll try to get that for you. All right.
Once upon a time in Shaolin.
All right, Harry. What are you going to go with?
Well, look, this is a tough one. Brian's right. Look, there's two kings of rock and roll, two. And I'm going to take something from both of them. I'm going to take, Brian, you make a great point. John Bon Jovi's best in the 80s were fantastic. The chest hair blaring, fantastic.
Had a great look.
But I'm not going to even go expensive.
You want Bon Jovi's chest hair? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, priceless. That's priceless. I'm taking John Bon Jovi headband from the 80s, which he used to wear when he had the flowing wild hair band hair.
Oh, come
on. The Slippery When Wet album hair from like 1984. That's one. So that's one of the kings of rock
and roll. I don't even know if that's the biggest headband. Like Jim McMahon's headband, David Lee Roth's headband. But go ahead.
Jimi Hendrix maybe too. But still, I'm still going to go with Bon Jovi there. But I'm also going to go with, and you know, I do a lot of shows, a lot of videos with my sunglasses. And I just think the other rock and roll legend, the other king, is Elvis. And I would love a pair of Elvis's crazy big thick sunglasses.
Really? Just sunglasses from Elvis? His blue suede shoes. He's got suits. He's got
the suits.
The sunglasses.
I live in Phoenix. I live in Scottsdale. The suits are a little too heavy. So I'd go with the sunglasses. I need those.
Sunglasses. All right.
Man, I thought Elvis would have asked for his drug cabinet.
Yeah.
Harry, that Elvis movie comes out next month.
Let's do it.
He doesn't have...
Can Harry give us a little taste of Elvis right now? Can he give us a little taste of it?
Let's see.
What's your favorite Elvis song, Harry? He doesn't know Elvis.
No, it's pretty good. Jailhouse Rock, too.
All right.
I have to practice there.
All right. Maybe next time.
You don't put H-Dog on the spot. By the way, H-Dog's Leaf went for $1.3 million. Let me see here. There's a lot of options, a lot of good stuff. I mean, Gaga's dress is, although it's probably spoiled by now, right? That can't be good. I don't think it preserved. There's a Michael Jackson and Bubble statue that went for like $7.5 million. I don't need that.
Oh, his monkey? His monkey?
Yeah, Bubbles. Yeah, there's a statue if you look at it, but it's not really a prop or anything. Jimi Hendrix's Woodstock guitar, I think, is right up
that
there.
Makes
probably.
Sense. That makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah.
Rihanna's umbrella, Elton John's game worn duck costume, maybe. What else? What about Janet Jackson, the malfunctioned wardrobe? You could go for that. But I am going to go with something that I tried to, I was, this is not going to come out the right way, but I was a couple of feet away from this. Huey Lewis's penis, which if you Google it right now, you'll see that it's legendary. And whenever I've had the pleasure of being in Huey's company, I bring this up to him all the time and he gets like really like weird about it and he won't answer. Maybe I'm the one being weird about it, but he doesn't. But look up Huey Lewis's penis. We once urinated right next to each other at a restaurant in a urinal and I try to get a look at he knew what I was doing. He pushed me away. I'm a real real jackass, as it turns out. But Google Huey Lewis's penis. I don't know if we see that on the auction block. Try to get that. Snap that up right away. All right, there you go. There's the river ball. That was good. I think we did a good job with that. Harry, so we got to get you Elvis's sunglasses. I feel like we could get that. I don't know. Out of everything?
Yeah, it's funny. Now that he said that, yeah, Ray Charles glasses, I guess.
Yeah, Ray Charles glasses.
Stevie Wonder glasses. Yeah.
Elvis's glasses. I don't know. Yeah, Stevie Wonder. Yeah, he would have to go with them for it. All right, there you go. That's the Riverboat Casino. What else? What do we miss, Babyface? Anything?
I mean, I definitely thought Harry might go like Willie Nelson's tour bus, the Honeysuckle Rose, or Snoop's Snoop's bong. But I would definitely have gone the piece of Janet Jackson's outfit from the halftime show. Also, because that was actually the first monologue joke I ever got on television, was based on that.
Really? What was it? Let's hear it.
Are you ready? Fox News has launched their own investigation of Janet Jackson's halftime performance. They've asked to see her other breast to see if it's fair and balanced.
There you go. What was that on Kilborn?
Yeah, that was it. Was on Kilborn?
Was it? Okay. Yeah. Nice. Good job. Yeah, I was at that Super Bowl and I left, and we didn't know until we were walking out, because you know, having seats there, you can't really see that stuff. But yeah, that was a big moment. And that also inspired unnecessary censorship, which Kimmel's been doing every Thursday for the last like 20 years or so. But I don't think the FCC fined anyone after that in the last 20. I think that was the last actual fine for television. So makes things interesting. Oh, here we go. So there you go. All right. Race to 10. Brian, let's do it tonight. Let's
Mavs.
Mavericks. Got to think of a trivia question. We're going to have a fan play along with us at home. Race to 10. That's 9 Eastern, Dallas, and Golden State. We need one win out of Dallas, or at least get to 10 first, and that'll do it for another episode of Against All Odds. For Babyface Joel Solomon, Mikey Meatballs, and the Degenerate Trifecta, I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicapping. Na, 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 na,